that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day we will be called up to be with you for eternity. We love you. We praise you for that, God. And that is our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's time for the children's sermon. Is that true? All right. Y'all can be seated.
Schedule on us and put us real early. So y'all look at Pastor Jeff, okay? It was he. You're excited. All right. Well, good. Come on, guys. Come on down. Hey, how are you doing, Josiah? Good to see everybody this morning. All right. Hey, guys. All right. Y'all sit down right there. Hey, hey. All right. So I'm excited to be here, right? Are y'all excited to be here? Yes, all right. So this morning, this is a great day, isn't it? So did y'all know that every Sunday we're also online and that people can watch at home? Yes. Did you know that? Okay, so I want you to turn real quickly and wave at everybody. Okay, hey. All right. Okay, so I have a word for you this morning. Do you know what this word says? Choices. Is that a big word? No. Now, do you know what it means? What does choices mean? Okay. Choosing something. Oh, come here, Ivy. It's okay. Mommy's coming. It's okay. Mommy's coming. Okay. It's all right. Mom can sit. Mom, why don't you just sit down here with her, okay? All right. So we have choices. Do you know you make choices every day? You do? Okay. Do you, you pretty much make choices every second, right? So do we make good choices is my question. Yeah. Not always. That's right. So did you make a good choice this morning by coming to church or being on church online this morning? Yes. Okay. So and then other choices that we have are not so good, right? Maybe like disobeying.
Not always. Not pleasing God.
Not pleasing God. How about... Right, more than one good choice. That's right. Can you hold that for me?
What?
That's right. Go to the park or get donuts. Okay, those are both great choices. You're right. Okay, and so what about telling a lie? Is that a good choice? Is telling a lie a good choice?
No.
How about maybe hurting someone's feeling? Is that a good choice?
No.
No, that's right. Well, you know, some choices are pretty easy to make, but then there's some choices that we make are pretty hard. So I have a choice for you this morning. So, okay, are y'all ready? All right. So we have, would you rather have this for snack? One of these for snack? No? Would you? No? Okay, will you hold those for me, Miss Madison? Okay. Or would you rather have a bag of flour? Okay. All right. Was that a pretty easy choice to make? Either the flour or some cookies? Yes, I definitely think that was an easy choice. So, but you know, every morning you wake up, you have a choice. And do you know what that choice is every single morning? What is it? Eat flour. No, not eat flour. Your choice. To brush your teeth or not brush your teeth. But every morning we have a choice to do what God wants us to do for that day.
For the devil.
Yes, that's right. So whether that choice is good or bad, we need to choose one, right? So should we choose good or bad?
Good.
Good. That's right. Choosing to follow God. Choosing to follow God every day should be an easy choice, right? But is it always easy?
No.
No, it's not. But you know what you can do if you've made a bad choice? You know what you can do? You can stop that choice.
And ask for God's forgiveness.
That's right. You can ask for God's forgiveness, and you can ask him to help you make that right choice. Did you know that? You don't have to keep doing the wrong choice. You can make a change. In Joshua 1:9, it says, I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So making a choice every day. Remember, God tells you to be strong and courageous. Are you strong and courageous all the time?
No.
Okay. Is he with you all the time? Yes, he's with you all the time. So can you remember to make a good choice to please God? And if you make a wrong choice, can you stop and ask God to forgive you and to show you what is the right choice? Can y'all do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you do tell us to be strong and courageous and that you are with us and that the choices that we make, Lord, we just want to please you, and sometimes we don't always please you, but we can stop what we're doing, and you will lead and guide us, and you will forgive us, and we thank you for that, Lord. Just bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, let's go. Yes, Joshua.
Well, that was good. Thank you, Carlene. Really good. So we're going to have our offering now. Things are a little different. So, like, you can bring your offering to the front, or you can do it on our app or on the website. Is that right, Jeff? How you say that, app or the website? We're going to do a song called Ain't No Grave, and there's a part that goes, if you walk out of the grave, I'm walking too. Y'all could wait for that part. Maybe do a zombie walk. No, I'm kidding. Let's stand and sing. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you'll bless this offering, Father, for your work. And the rest of this service, Lord Jesus, that you'd cover it with your Holy Spirit, Father. We're so glad to be in your house together. We're thankful to be in your house together with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now shame is a prison as cruel as the grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer that lifted me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, oh,
Good morning, church. Ain't no grave. I don't know if that's grammatically correct or not, but it makes sense to me. I'm going to hold this body down. I'm grateful for that. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that at this time through the app. If you're in the building or if you're at your homes, you can do that if you'd like to. I want to make a quick plug for Family Camp. There's been some information circulating about that. I want to remind you that Family Camp is just that, for families. And families can register for 1 2-hour session. Last week I said it was a 3-hour session. That was wrong. It's a 2-hour session, either a morning or an afternoon session, just one session on the 11th, 18th, or the 25th. There will be a maximum of 12 families in the building. And I believe there's a plan to come in here for worship to begin with. There's plenty of space to spread out to do that. And then as people move through stations, one family will be in one room by themselves with one leader. So we're trying to keep some social distancing as we do that. So if you'd like to participate that as a family, let me give you an example. So the Hatchers bunch could bring Chance and Jordan and Ryan and Kirby and their two kids, and they could come as well. So grandparents, we'd have three generations represented there. So that's just the scenario that would apply. So sign up either online on our website or you can use the app. Jeff stated in his email Friday that Wednesday nights are canceled for the summer, and so we're going to plan on kicking back off on the 26th of August. So praying about that possibility. And you men have probably already figured this out, but Promise Keepers has been canceled this year. And they've been good enough to allow us to roll our tickets over to the next year. They weren't kind enough to give us a reimbursement, but they're kind enough to allow our tickets to roll over to next year, so we have 20 spots reserved for next year. Looking forward to that. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I've been sending out some emails for a number of weeks now about the global prayer effort, Unite 714. And I think most of you are probably familiar with that effort. At 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m., people are praying a scripted prayer around the globe. And the prayer changes weekly. And so you think about that. At 7:14 this morning, you know, people in our time zone are praying. And then somewhere halfway around the world at 7:14 p.m., so that time zone is praying. So literally around the clock at 7:14, millions of Christians around the world are praying. And, you know, I don't know if that's making a difference, but I believe it blesses the heart of the Lord. I believe it has to be making a difference. I mean, things seem chaotic. I wonder what they would be like if we weren't praying. So this morning, I want to just pray the prayer for this week and make a few comments, and then we'll go into our next worship set. Here's the scripture that this prayer is crafted around for the week. It's Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please excuse me, the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So y'all pray with me as I read through this prayer. Let's just agree in Jesus' name. Lord, we've been walking through a time of unprecedented worldwide pressure and pain. We are so grateful that in many nations around the world, COVID-19 has been mitigated. Other precious cities and nations, however, are still being battered by this pandemic. Furthermore, the world's economies are reeling. Social unrest is erupting, and the historic tension between nations are beginning to simmer and boil afresh. Even in the midst of this pressure and pain, we continue to stand in faith. Our choices, Carly mentioned choices this morning, to believe, to pray, to love, to give, and to read your word make a difference. Even when our circumstances don't seem to be changing as fast as we would like, we ourselves change when we choose to obey you. We rest in the fact that even when everything seems out of control, you are still in control. Heavenly Father, as we draw close to you and to one another, fill us every day with a fresh faith, love, hope, and joy. Lord, we have fought to not grow weary in doing well. Give us the strength not to quit. Every time we see a victory, we are confronted by another complex challenge. You are a God who heals. So we continue to cry out to you for the eradication of COVID-19 and an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, eradicate COVID-19, restore our nations, and bring healing to all the peoples in our world. Lord, you say that if we do not become weary in well-doing, we will reap a harvest at a proper time, if we do not quit. Around the world, Christians from every tribe, tongue, and nation unite in the belief that a fresh move of your Holy Spirit is imminent. Heavenly Father, we boldly come before your throne, uniting in one voice, asking you to give us the greatest evangelistic harvest in human history. Lord, the multiple crises shaking our world have opened countless doors for us to love and care for others in your name. Let us continue to give, to love, to serve, and to minister to the people around us. Your gospel is the answer to the deepest needs of our world. Heavenly Father, empower us to both live and proclaim the gospel. Father, we lift this prayer up to you with countless believers, not praying at this exact time, but countless believers around the world. And Lord, I think about that, the parable that Jesus taught about the persistent widow. And he was teaching on prayer, and she kept coming before this judge asking for justice in regard to her neighbor. And the judge said, you're wearing me out. Therefore, grant you justice. God, we just want to wear you out in prayer. And help us not to grow weary in doing that. But at the same time, God, you are sovereign. God, you already have something designed. You already have an outcome assigned to what's going on. And Father, we want to be right in your will, but at the same time, God, we ask you to move and change things for your glory. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity to come together in this house and worship you. Protect us as we move forward. And we praise you. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever.
Lee, go ahead. How about that? Not everybody gets to brag on their fishing trip in front of the whole church. Now, the reason I'm showing this is my dad and I, we scheduled a guide to take us out to Fort Phantom and catch hybrids. This was last Monday. And so when we get there, 6:20 a.m. clouds everywhere. It was kind of cold. The wind, I think it was blowing about 30 miles an hour. It was a stiff wind, and we were the only ones there. My dad goes, Trevor, we're the only idiots out here. Nobody else is going to fish today. Sure enough, our guide shows up pretty quickly, and we're it. Only ones on the lake. We get in the boat. I'm wearing shorts. I'm thinking, ah, it's summertime. It's going to be nice. I freeze. When you're on a rough lake with the big waves and you're in a bass boat, the waves just come right over. So we're sopping wet. I'm crouched down in my seat, and my dad's looking around like we're going to drown in Fort Phantom. He had his life jacket on. In fact, he brought his life jacket with him from the house. He wore it the whole time. Miserable. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this is how it is sometimes. Well, I get this ding on my company phone. And it's my daily scripture from Kyle. And it's from Genesis, and it says, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And I looked at Dad, and I said, we're going to catch fish today. I just got a scripture straight from God. We're going to catch fish today. And you know, sure enough, we went out in that rough water. The boat was pitching like crazy. We're standing up trying to keep our balance. We're catching hybrids like crazy. And so, you know, sometimes I think, even when we're not thinking about it, God is pleased. And you know how sometimes you get that rub on your head from your dad or a touch on the shoulder? I think that's what we got there. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And God is good. Kind of a small thing, really. But I'll never forget it, Kyle. I'll never forget it. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.
Coming soon. Well, good morning. Glad that you're all here. I'm glad that our live stream audience is here. We had a little technical glitch at the front end of our service. Y'all didn't know about it, but we are glad that our live stream is now live and with us. So if you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. I want you to feel the love of Christ from God's people. If you I would love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down at the end of the foyer down there. I have a gift for you. I'd love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If y'all would turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take up your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We trust in the truth of your word, that your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you will be there with us, and we trust that. We know that you are here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us in power and authority, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have seen the movie Braveheart? It's a great movie. It's a little violent because it's about, you know, wars that's going on between Scotland and England. And Cheryl and I went with some friends years ago when it first came out. And it was a popular movie at the time. And so the theater was packed and we got there just a little bit late. And we normally like to sit about three-fourths of the way back. Everybody else, middle, three-fourths of the way back. That's our sweet spot. We got there, and all the seats were taken but the front row. And, I mean, we're giving her this, you know. And William Wallace, we're seeing bodies fly by. I mean, you feel like you got a duck when he swings his sword and everything. We were right up on the front. But there's a scene in this movie where they are preparing for battle, and the troops are getting cold feet. They're about ready to leave, and William Wallace, Mel Gibson is playing him, he rides up, and he gives this this speech to the army that inspires them to go into battle. Today's sermon is to put on the full armor of God, living a life of victory. Now, I want to, as we reflect on this passage, most of us are pretty familiar with this passage out of Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. I can remember when our girls were little, at another church before I was a pastor, I don't know if they remember this, but they made little plaques and had little hooks on it, and each hook had a different piece of the armor that they put on. As they learned about it, they put the little piece of armor on there. But I can see that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is doing much what William Wallace did in that movie, is that he is firing up the troops. Now, there's a couple of things I want us, before we get, we're going to kind of unpack this armor today and look at it a little closer. But before we do that, there's a couple of major points that I want to make before we move into the armor. And the first is that there is a battle, and our enemy is Satan, not people. Hello. There's a battle. Notice he says that it doesn't say that if someday by chance this battle occurs, that you probably should be ready. No, he says, when the battle comes, that you should be equipped to stand your ground. Our struggle is not against, he goes on to say, against flesh and blood. Now, this man, I've talked to several of you over the last few weeks. This season that we are in, it can really be discouraging, can it? I have almost exclusively stopped watching the news. I just like, I don't want to hear anymore. And it's so easy to begin to think that the us and the thems. Hello. Steve's this on? Can you hear me over there, Steve? It's easy to start feeling it's us against them. Well, God's word is very clear. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these spiritual forces that are forces being controlled by the enemy. So there's going to be a battle, and Satan is the enemy, not other people. Most of the time, I look at people that I disagree with that I see on the news and all these different things that are doing things that... Did you know I saw... I did read this. I didn't watch it on the news, but I did read it's like they had to have like 75 people just circled the Alamo and just was protecting the Alamo. Did you know that? So that they wouldn't burn down the Alamo. I mean, we've literally, our culture, we've lost our minds. But it's so easy to say that to begin to think that our enemy are those who's charging, trying to do those things. But in reality, it's Satan. It's these spiritual forces and these evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I have known people that will proclaim that they are Christians, and they say, I don't believe in there's there. In fact, I remember as a little boy, we had a pastor years ago, preached a sermon that there is no Satan. Now, I was a little boy, that was decades ago, but I'm like, have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible? It says very clearly what our battle, who our battle is against. It's against Satan and these and his spiritual forces. And that's the next point that I want to make before we move into the armor. God, not only is there a battle against Satan and evil, God gives us the strength for the battle. And it's God that gives us strength. It's not our own strength in the flesh. Listen to... the words that we just read just a moment ago. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Hello. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. He is our defender. He is our conqueror. He is the one that will stand up for us. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There it is. Either you believe in God's word, Are you believe that there's not a devil? I mean, you can't do both. Therefore, remember what's therefore. You go back. Therefore, since we've got this battle, since the battle is against the devil, and because God is strong and we remain in His strength, then He says, therefore, put on this full armor. I look back. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I look back, it's interesting. I won't be able to tell you the whole story, but you can read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat, he's in the occupied land, the promised land that God had promised them and given them. And suddenly these nations that God had specifically said, don't overthrow them, don't conquer them earlier, and they're coming against Judah and Jerusalem. And King Jehoshaphat receives this from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Now, I think that this word is for us today as well. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Hello. All that's going on in our world, anybody afraid of what's coming next? Anybody been discouraged by this? I have. God is saying, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. He said, it's like, you see this vast army coming against you, don't be afraid or discouraged. For the battle, there it is, it's not yours, it's mine. There's a great song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, Dennis Jernigan. I know it's an oldie but goodie. The battle is not yours but God's. So we need to understand that there is a battle. The enemy is Satan, but we have the strength of the Lord to do battle for us. Okay, I'm gonna hit these pretty quick because there's six of them. But I think we read through this scripture so quickly sometimes we don't really see what it really means. The first is that our armor includes the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Then stand firm then in the belt with the belt of truth around your waist. So you think about this army, the armor that's going on for the army. And truth is this firm foundation. It girds us up. We don't use that word gird very often. Anybody use that word? I don't use it, but that's a word that came to me. It girds us up, and so I explored gird a little bit more. To make secure, to gird your... I say this all the time, gird your loins. First of all, we don't know what gird is, and second, we don't know what loins are. But you're supposed to gird them. What it really means is tighten your pants. Cinch it up, baby. It holds everything together. It keeps everything secure. Get truth. Now, Paul is saying, secure yourself with the truth. Well, does that mean to win intellectual arguments? No, truth is a person. Jesus. Gird yourself. Secure yourself with Jesus. Because He is the way and the truth and the life. Man, I mean, as all this chaos is going on, gird yourself with Jesus. Secondly, our armor includes the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want to talk a second about righteousness. We as followers of Jesus Christ, when there's, and I've talked about this before, there's an exchange that happened at the cross that Christ offers to us. He takes upon Himself our sin, our brokenness, our filthy rags, if you will, and He, in those things, that sin has to be dealt with. Scripture tells us that sin produces death, and so Jesus takes upon Himself, and if you can just picture Him taking upon, just putting this coat of our sin, our filthy rags upon Himself and nailing it to the cross, and He deals with that. But it doesn't stop there. It's also, Scripture also tells us that He makes an exchange. He takes our sin, our brokenness, our filthy rags, and He places upon us a robe of righteousness. Scripture tells us that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so we are, when God the Father looks at us, He sees, if we are in Christ, He sees us as the righteousness that Christ has provided for us. Romans 3 says it this way, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law. It's not about being good. It's not about obeying the law. A righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known to you, which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God, here it is, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to some of you. Oh, wait, my version says, to all who believe. If we are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, we have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. Now, but in Scripture, Romans talks about this a whole lot. So if you want to know more about this, read Romans. But then it says, well, so why do I go on sinning? Well, the best way I can explain it, if you look at yourself spiritually and in the flesh, and when we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, spiritually, we have been elevated to the righteousness, that righteousness of Christ. Our flesh is still down here, trying to catch up. And Wesley called that sanctification, this process of making us holy. And so the flesh is trying to catch up with the Spirit, and that is that process that's going to be ongoing until we see Jesus face to face. But in the spiritual realm, when God looks at us, he sees us in the righteousness of Christ. Now listen, Galatians says it a little bit differently. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So this breastplate of righteousness that Paul speaks of in Ephesians here is this, it's like, man, that covers, you know, the our core of our body is the vulnerable part. If you talk to anyone that's a soldier or anything, it's like you go for this core when you're trying to do battle. The breastplate of righteousness protects that core of who we are. Thirdly, our armor includes the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I want to say this. I've said it before, but I want you to hear this loud and clear. An angry Christian has never led anybody to the Lord. Hello. Now, that doesn't mean not to have convictions. That doesn't mean not to stand for truth and what is right and just. It doesn't mean that. But if we allow, in these times, man, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, I'm vulnerable here. You watch all of this stuff taking place and the stuff you disagree with, if you're not careful, anger can take hold and grab hold of your heart. An angry Christian never led anyone to the Lord. Jesus said it this way, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So he's saying that, man, the world may be, you know, peace in the world's definition is when everything's going just the way we like it, then we'll have some peace for that little blip. That's the peace of the world. When all of our circumstances line up just right, everybody's healthy, everybody likes one another, everybody's saying good things about one another, I've got plenty of food, plenty of money, plenty of friends, plenty of popularity, all that. It's like, oh, man, this is pretty good stuff. It's easy to have peace in those circumstances, which basically doesn't exist. But Jesus said, no, peace I give to you is different. I give to you not as the world gives, but I give my peace. Do not let hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There it is again. When the world is spinning out of control, when people seem to be losing their ever-loving mind, the peace of Jesus trumps it all. It's overall, covers it all. Romans 5 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourth thing, our armor includes the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, I've said this many times. John 10:10. Hey man, you need to know that scripture. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, we have an enemy. This Ephesians 6 is talking about it. Paul is talking about it. We have this enemy. He's coming after us. He wants to take us out. He wants to destroy marriages, relationships. He wants to destroy your self-esteem. All of those things, he's coming after you, but then Jesus goes on to say, yeah, you got this enemy, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So as we look at this shield of faith, as those flaming arrows is the imagery that Paul is using here, those flaming arrows of the enemy as it's coming towards us. And there, and it can be things like you're worthless. Those thoughts, many times the enemy just works through our thoughts. You're worthless. God could never love you. God could never forgive you for what you've done. Those thoughts that come from the enemy, and we raise up this shield of faith and go, I'm a child of God. Jesus hung on a cross for me because he loves me. And we extinguish those flaming arrows. Fifth thing, our armor includes the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. To our mind, once again, the protection of our mind. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Now, there's a scripture that I ask this sometimes of you, and it's not a statement of condemnation. It's a statement of hoping that you will go deeper. If you are not at peace with where you will go when you die, please come and talk to me, because those of us in Christ shouldn't have that struggle. Romans 8 says, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. I'm just telling you, if I get hit by a car on my way in through the parking lot today, I'm going to be with Jesus. And it's not because I'm a pastor, it's not because I'm a great guy, it's not because I'm a good Christian, it's because I know what Jesus has done for me. I know he died for me. I know he loves me. His spirit testifies to my spirit that I'm his. If you don't have that assurance, please come and talk to me. Let's talk about it. Let's pray together. We can be assured of our salvation, and it protects our mind, our brain. Number six, our armor includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You may have heard this before, but I heard it several years ago, and I really love this imagery. It's like, this is, notice, out of the six pieces of armor, this is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is defensive, protecting us. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is offensive. We take the battle to the enemy with the Word of God. And I would also say, and it's tied in with the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, praise. Man, praise is that's why I tell you sometimes just read the Psalms. Man, it's like, you just take it to the enemy with the praise of God, with the Word of God. And so finally, let me wrap up. The one thing that we miss is this last verse. The last verse. We stop with the sword of the Spirit. But listen to what verse 18 says. After he defines this, that we've got this battle, and here's your armor to take up, then he finishes it up with this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We forget that prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Prayer covers it all. This is what's coming to me. It's almost like that kind of activates the armor. Hello. I think that one was straight from the Lord, because I'd never thought of that before. Don't you love that? You ever love that when you say something to somebody and you go, hey, I do that sometimes. Like, hey, that was good. I never thought of that before. Well, that's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. Prayer. I don't know why Power Rangers or some goofy little kids. It's like, you push a button, it activates the armor. Man, in these crazy times, church, I don't know about you, but all I got's Jesus. I mean, wow. All I got's Jesus. and he'll see us through. God is calling on us not to pick and choose which one of these pieces of army or the prayer that activates. He's not saying, yeah, do that sometimes, or how about do 2, 2, and 4? Those are the good ones. No, it says put on the full armor of God. All of these things are important. If we want to live a victorious life, no matter what the future holds, no matter what our culture throws at us, no matter what the enemy throws at us, if we want to live a victorious life, we need to heed his word and put on the full armor of God. I want to invite the praise team to come on up. Lord, I don't know. Maybe this prayer is just for me, but I'm weary. I'm weary. And what that tells me, Lord, is perhaps I'm relying too much on myself. Lord, we want to activate this armor that you have given us. This belt of truth and this breastplate of righteousness and this gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all these things, Lord, we need all these things. We need because you are strong. You are mighty. And we trust you. In uncertain times, we trust you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Invite you to stand as we close. If you need any prayer, or if you don't know, if you don't have that peace in your spirit, you can see me as we close, or see me after, or call me at the office. Whatever you need to do, I want to visit with you. If you don't have that peace in your heart.
Gave us
in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We have the power of the Lord living inside of us and his Holy Spirit. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.